Now let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 23, please. Just a very simple thought that I was enjoying on Psalm 23 recently. Psalm 23, I know we could quote it by memory, I'm sure. But it's nice to go over the words slowly. So Psalm 23, okay, find a place to put the cup, there we go. It's interesting that Psalm 23 starts with the Lord and it ends with the Lord. You'll see that once we read it. And then you're going to notice right in the middle is the Lord himself. And there seems to be a leading up to that point, and that seems to be where he stays. I want you to notice the change of pronouns as you start to move through these short little six verses. Verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou. So he starts out talking about the Lord. Now there's been a change right in the middle. Now he's talking directly to the Lord. That's just beautiful, I find. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. So you can see the contrast. The first part, he. Thou. Verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at verse number 4 again. I'm going to read the middle phrase that contains the central word, for thou art with me. So if you looked at the Hebrew, all the different sentences, that is the middle phrase. That little word, thou, is emphatic. It's just like it just jumps off the page. So recently I received an email from an older saint. She lost her husband almost 2 years ago. I stayed many a times in their house, enjoyed fellowship with them. And she was sending me a little note in lieu of a gift that she was sending our way. Very kind of her. And she just brought up her husband that had passed. Such an emptiness in the house. And you can imagine what all that would be like. And as I sat there and I just read the email over, I just thought to myself, like, I'm lost for words what to say to this dear woman. I haven't been through the valley that she's going through. I don't know what to say. And while I was just, you know, struck by her email, my mind went to Psalm 23. There's something unique that only God, your Savior, can say directly to you. Instead of using a preacher, right, or a close friend, where God uses them as the channel to address your need, isn't it marvelous that we have a God that when you pick up and hold His word, there's no filter in between. There's no man. There's no woman. There's you and the Spirit of God, and you just settle. Maybe you have your routine in the morning, your little cup of coffee that sort of makes you feel good and settles you down. And you're just, your mind is, I mean, our minds are busy. I understand all that. I have just been noticing the joy that comes from just personally settling the mind. Just going over the verses, slowing things down, just giving God a chance just to speak directly to you. He wants to. I think it's beautiful. This is what happens in this psalm. Right in the middle of the psalm, you're now in the valley, the shadow of death. And that's where he's no longer he is him, thou. Isn't that wonderful? Like our God, we know this, our God is large enough, big enough, able to deal with all of us at the same moment. My mind was going to John chapter 13. We sometimes make a big mistake when we read about the upper room ministry and the washing of the disciples' feet, and we think, why didn't one of those disciples get up and wash the other disciples' feet? And what was their problem? Did they think they were too big? When I read John 13 in the upper room ministry, there was only one person that could wash their feet. That was the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that is without sin, without bias. Think about it, dear brother and sister. When I look at that upper room and I look at those 12 men, 11 were born again and one wasn't. I wouldn't have washed that rascal's feet. Not a chance. It shows me the heart of the Lord. Shows me the desire. Whether it's a sinner or whether it's a saint, he still wants to talk to them, still wants to address their need. Isn't that tremendous? And then you start going through the upper room ministry, and you know, it's interesting, Peter, I don't read any words with the others. Peter, he doesn't understand what's going on. And it's just such a gentle rebuke from the Lord Jesus. It's not hard. See, that's something else that I've been thinking of. The older you get, you wish you thought like this 30 years ago. You know, words that Paul would leave with Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He leaves him in Ephesus. He's given him a charge. There's those that have to be talked to and straightened out. Now, the end of the commandment, the charge, is charity out of a pure heart. Do you know what can happen? I can come to a conference like this with an exercise I trust of God, and it can be given in a way. I think I know my heart. I think I know my motive. But I got a little bit of an agenda, and I'm going to twist it in. No agenda with our Savior. No one will ever deal with you and me more kindly, more gently than our blessed Lord. We're going to find out in John 17 when we have our Bible study, Lord willing, Sunday morning, the love. I have been, as you know, I'd be opening the Bible study and I've been thinking a lot about it. I really don't know how to explain it. The love wherewith thou hast loved me, the Lord says. The love wherewith thou hast loved me, thou hast loved them. I am looking for help on that. How in the world can you take an infinite Father and an infinite Son and you try to visualize the flow, the full flow of love, unhindered? That's coming to me from the same Father. I don't know. I don't even know where to start to try to explain that. So there is the wonderful thing about a conference. It's wonderful. But here's what I'm getting down to. A conference will never replace what happened this morning with you and your Bible. Did you read this morning? Did you have a time of prayer this morning? Oh, you say, I'm a night person. Okay, great, wonderful. Be assured to do it tonight, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I get awful tired at night. And the iPad ends up smacking me on the face, and I don't even realize what happened. I'm just being real. But I love the morning. And I tried to make that little time. You just sit where you sit. Just settle your mind, Scott. Just settle your mind. Now, Lord, I need help here. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to hear someone else tell me about you. I want to hear just your voice. Now, we had a number of people pray at the conference here tonight about the Word of God. We all know that if it wasn't for the Word of God, none of us would be saved. So our Christian life started off with a tremendous importance of the Word of God. We know as believers, absolutely, we've been hearing it. We know that as the wickedness increases in the 21st century, the pressure is going to increase. We know that the importance of the Word of God is only going to become more important. So, dear child of God, let those of us that take the platform, let us try to deliver just the Word of God with the right motive. We want to see the saints bettered. We want to see the assemblies of God bettered. We want to see God glorified. That's the end result. Coming back to you, the receiver, am I ready just to sort of settle in the presence of the Lord? I'm going to get beyond that speaker. I'm not going to do what Peter did as the Lord went for his feet. No, you'll never wash me, Lord. You'll never do it, no. In comes the gentle rebuke. And I was just noticing it. Isn't it interesting? The Lord would say to Peter, you will not understand right now what I'm doing, but you will understand. There will come a time when you will. So may the Lord just help us approach our personal readings with a little more diligence. And maybe as we approach just any kind of a conference setting, an assembly meeting of teaching or a Bible study, may we just have minds that are opened to the Word of God.